Welcome to the Deep Dive, the place where we take stacks of complicated documents and give you the distilled insight you need to be immediately informed. Today, we're tackling a dense, but, well, a really crucial topic, a recent legal update. It's all about proposed changes to health plan transparency requirements.
Right.
The sources you provided all center on this proposed rule that came out in late 2025. And our mission today is a true deep dive. We're going to unpack the, you know, the complex details here.
It is complex.
Yeah. And the key is that this proposal isn't designed to add a bunch of new disclosures. It's about drastically improving the usability and accessibility of the data that's already out there.
Exactly. That's the real shift from just mandatory disclosure to, well, to effective disclosure.
So this is your shortcut to understanding where healthcare price transparency is heading.
It really is. Yeah. This isn't some brand new mandate. It's a very detailed refinement.
Yeah.
The proposed rule was officially released on December 19, 2025. Mm-hmm. And it came from the U.S. Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, and the Treasury. We'll just call them the departments. Keep it simple.
Right. The department.
And what's fascinating here and really critical for context is that this proposal, it explicitly builds on the 2020 final transparency rule.
So it's an evolution, not a revolution.
Precisely. And it's also consistent with the administration's executive order from earlier in the year, from February 2025, which was all about improving the utility of this price data.
And just to set expectations for you, the learner, these are still proposed changes. They're not finalized rules yet.
That's a key point.
But, I mean, given the clear administrative focus on reducing burden while also helping consumers, it seems highly probable that these changes or something very much like them will become final pretty soon.
I'd say so. They're signaling the direction of travel very, very clearly.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's start with the first big pillar here, the raw data itself, the machine-readable files or MRF.
The infamous MRFs.
Right. Health plans have been required to post these on a public website for a while now. But for the listener, why did these massive data files get this reputation for being, you know, basically unusable?
Yeah, that's the heart of the problem with the original 2020 rule.
Yeah.
The rule required compliance, sure, but it didn't really mandate usability. And the files themselves were just enormous.
Okay.
So the original rule, which has been in place since mid-2022, mandated three different kinds of MRFs.
Three.
First, you had the in-network rate file. That one required disclosing all the contracted rates between the plan and its providers for everything.
Everything. Wow.
Second, the allowed amount file. That one disclosed historical out-of-network allowed amounts and the bill charges that went with them.
And the third.
And finally, the prescription drug file. That one, as you'd guess, covers drug prices, though, to be fair, enforcement on that specific file has been delayed.
So if you were a developer or a startup, you know, someone trying to actually use this data to build a real price comparison tool for people, You weren't just getting a spreadsheet.
Oh, no, not at all. You were getting a data tsunami every single month.
A data tsunami. I like that.
It's true. We're talking about proprietary formats, files that were hundreds of gigabytes in size, with literally millions and millions of rows for just one health plan.
That's unbelievable.
Imagine someone hands you the entire Library of Congress every month, but it's all just thrown into a giant disorganized basement with no index. The scale and the lack of uniformity. It just crippled any effort to actually use the data.
And that's where this new proposal gets really interesting, because it seems to directly attack that failure. So what specific improvements are they suggesting for those first two files, the in-network rate and the allowed amount MRFs?
They're focusing on some really practical fixes. First, the main goal is just a direct reduction in the file complexity and the overall size. The idea is to promote genuine usability for those developers and researchers.
So making it manageable.
Exactly. And second, and this is a huge one for the health plans themselves, they're proposing to reduce the required updating cadence from monthly to quarterly.
Whoa, hold on. From monthly to quarterly.
Yep. It's a massive reduction in the administrative and technical burden.
Okay, but that's a huge break for them, cutting the workload by, what, 75%? But if the goal is consumer transparency, doesn't that mean the price data is going to be less current?
That is the absolute core of the regulatory tension here. You've hit it right on the head. They are making a very calculated trade-off.
A trade-off?
Yes. The argument from the departments is that the monthly burden was so ridiculously high that it was actually leading to reporting errors and, frankly, widespread non-compliance.
Ah, so plans just weren't even doing it right.
Or not at all. So by moving it to quarterly, they're prioritizing higher data quality and better compliance across the board, even if it means introducing a small delay in real-time accuracy.
So the logic is highly accurate, standardized data that's available every quarter is better than a messy, incomplete data dump every month. That actually sounds pretty realistic for regulation.
It is. And the third fix is even more practical. It's just about finding the data in the first place.
Right. I've heard stories about that.
So the proposed rule would improve findability by requiring both a standardized text file and a footer with specific website URLs and contact info. It's a simple, low-tech fix to stop plans from hiding these giant files deep inside their websites.
That makes a ton of sense. So for timing, these MRF changes, the quarterly updates, the usability focus, findability, they're proposed to apply 12 months after a final rule is published.
That's correct. And it's worth noting, the department said they'll address the prescription drug file separately in some future guidance. So for now, the focus is just on making the medical service data actually usable.
Okay, let's pivot then. Let's go to the second pillar of transparency. The personalized cost tool. This is the part the consumer actually sees.
Right, the front end.
Since January 2023, plans have been required to have this internet-based self-service tool for their members. It's supposed to show your personalized price and your specific cost sharing for services, including drugs.
And this is where things get complicated because you have different regulations trying to do similar things. This is where we see the need for what they call regulatory harmonization.
What do you mean?
Well, when that original 2020 transparency rule was finalized, it required the internet tool. But then something else happened. The No Surprises Act, the NSA, was enacted after that rule.
Ah, I see. A new law came in.
A huge new law. And the NSA had its own rules about cost-sharing information. And crucially, it required this information to be provided through an internet tool and over the phone if someone asks for it. The original transparency rule only mentioned the internet.
So you ended up with two separate mandates, both trying to get people their personalized price, but the NUA law, the NSA, added this critical layer of accessibility with the phone requirement.
Exactly. And the challenge was, how do you integrate the two without making plans build a whole separate system just for phone calls?
Okay, so how does this new proposed rule solve that?
It basically acts as a legislative bridge. It proposes that the same exact personalized information, you know, your current deductible status, how much is left on your out-of-pocket max, your specific copay.
All the details.
All of it. The same info that the internet tool generates must now also be communicated over the phone upon request.
That is huge for making sure everyone has access. You know, you think about someone without good internet or maybe an elderly person who's just more comfortable talking to a real human.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It ensures transparency isn't just for digital natives. It becomes universal. It closes a really critical accessibility gap.
And the harmonization doesn't stop there, right?
No, it doesn't. The proposed rule also updates the tool's required disclosures to specifically account for the NSA's most famous protection, balance billing.
Okay, so for our learner who might need a quick refresher, can you just quickly define balance billing and why it's such a big deal?
Of course. Balance billing is when a provider bills you, the patient, for the difference between what they charge and what your insurer actually pays them.
The surprise bill.
The dreaded surprise medical bill, exactly. It usually happens when you unknowingly get care from an out-of-network doctor, maybe during an emergency or even at an in-network hospital.
And the NSA put a stop to that in most of those situations.
It did. The NSA generally prohibits that practice. So this proposed transparency rule says that when the personalized price tool calculates your estimated cost, it has to specifically factor in those NSA protections against balance billing.
So the tool won't just tell me my copay. It has to implicitly tell me, hey, under this scenario, because of the No Surprises Act, this is the absolute maximum you're going to owe. It stops that shock later on.
That's a perfect way to put it. It moves the tool from just being an information delivery system to being an active consumer protection feature.
That's a major shift.
It is. We should probably mention the timeline for this part is a bit further out. These changes to the price comparison tool, the phone access, and the balance billing stuff are proposed to be effective for plan years, beginning on or after January 1st, 2027.
2027. So that gives plans a pretty long runway to get their systems in order.
A very substantial runway, yes.
So let's tie this all together. What does this all mean for the learner? For anyone following healthcare regulation, this deep dive shows a really clear roadmap, right? Transparency isn't about just demanding more and more data anymore. It's about fixing the initial flaws. So you have less data complexity. With that, move to quarterly MRFs.
Better data access with the footers and URLs.
Right. And then this really smart harmonization with the NSA, specifically with the phone access and the balance billing protections.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the implications for employers are still huge, even if they're not the ones building these things.
How so?
Well, most employers rely completely on their third-party administrators or their insurance carriers, companies like Randstad Insurance, which was in the source materials, to handle all of this.
They outsource it.
They do. But the ultimate legal responsibility for compliance still rests with the employer, the plan sponsor. They can't just take a hands-off approach. They have to monitor these developments and make sure their vendors are actually implementing the final rules correctly.
Especially as those dates in 2026 and 2027 start coming up.
Exactly. The shift to usable data means accurate compliance is everything.
So I think the key takeaway here is that the goal isn't just to have data that's been disclosed, it's to have data that's actionable.
Yes.
They want the system to work whether you're a developer trying to build an app from an MRF or you're a patient calling on the phone to get a quote before a procedure. The administration seems to be focused on making the burden manageable so the information can finally become useful.
That's a great summary. And my final thought for you to sort of chew on,
yeah.
It builds on that point we made earlier about the quarterly change.
Oh.
While reducing the MRF update frequency from monthly to quarterly is a huge help to health plans, it's a major regulatory benefit, it does inherently mean that any price competition models built on this data will always lag by up to 3 months.
Ah, there's that tension again. That's the core conflict we have to think about, isn't it?
It is.
So the provocative thought we'll leave you with is this. In this whole pursuit of usable healthcare data, how do regulators actually balance that need to reduce the administrative burden on health plans with the consumer's essential immediate need for the most current, up-to-the-minute price information?
It's the million-dollar question.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the proposed improvements to health plan transparency. We hope this has been your shortcut to being well-informed.